The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, recorded on April 25th, 1996, in Mumbai, India.
Karma-jambudhi-yuktahi Palam tyaktva manishina janma bandhav nirmukta padam gacchantya namayam. Engaging in devotional service to the Lord. Great sages or devotees free themselves from the results of work in the material world and attain the state beyond all miseries by going back to Godhead. This material world, there are three types of activities. One is called karma. Karma means acting according to the rules and regulations of the scriptures. By acting in a pious way, we get good karmic results. The second is called vikarma. This means when we act sinfully, when we cause harm to others, the law of nature is that pain will come to us. And the other type of activity is called akarma. That means those activities which are beyond the reactions of the laws of nature. When we act in devotion to the Supreme Lord, there is no material reaction. Because such activities in bhakti are the natural activities of the soul. The soul is spiritual, it is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. But this material body is asat, achit, and nirananda. It is temporary, full of ignorance, and subjected to so many sufferings. So karma and vikarma activities are meant for the body. We rejoice when we receive something very pleasant, and we suffer when we receive something unpleasant. But these dualities are inseparable from one another. And therefore people can find no real happiness through these bodies. Within the body is the soul, who is the person that gives consciousness to this body. The soul is seeking everlasting happiness. That happiness naturally comes about when we are in our natural condition of serving God. Service to God is the service which is our real natural condition as spirit souls. And the whole civilization has been arranged by Lord Krishna so that everyone can develop their natural spiritual qualities. In fact, every stage of our life is meant only for that purpose. Within the Vedas, and within the culture and tradition of this great land of India, at various important stages of our life, there are samskaras to be performed. At every major transition, a human being is meant to perform these samskaras. The beginning, at the time of conception, the Vedas teach us, that is the time when the presence of the spirit soul enters into the womb of the mother. In the world today, in the governments, amongst politicians and social welfare people, they are having so many debates and arguments of when life actually begins. But the Vedas tell us that at the very moment of conception, the life begins to develop within the womb of the mother. And therefore, the Garbhadhan Samskar is meant to create an atmosphere where both the husband and the wife are in complete absorption in Krishna, in God, at the time of conception. And that will attract a very saintly personality to enter into the womb of the mother. If our consciousness is very materially trying to enjoy, then we will attract a very degraded soul into the womb of the mother. Of course, the soul can never be degraded, but the soul is covered by various types of karma from previous births, and therefore is in a degraded situation. And at the time of birth, there is another samskara, cutting the umbilical cord between the mother and the child. And then when the child first takes grains, beginning to eat outside of the milk from mother, that is another samskara. And when the child first begins education and begins to write with pencil or chalk, there is another samskara. And in some places, there is big festival for each of these samskaras, because it is a major step forward in a child's life. And it is an entrance into another realm of serving God. The samskaras are meant to invoke the blessings and the mercy of the Lord on that person in entering into another phase of devotion. Of course, these days, because it is Kali Yuga, these sacred samskaras, which are meant to impress in a person's life the necessity of devotion and sacrifice to God and service to God, they have become just social events. And this is very unfortunate. They are times of celebration, but we celebrate for a very serious purpose. We are celebrating that this child is getting the mercy and the blessings of so many Brahmins and Vaishnavas and saintly persons on this day to enter into the next phase of one's life. And then there is the samskara of marriage. Because marriage is a very sacred vow that is taken between a man and a woman. It is a vow taken before God for the purpose of service to God. Because man and woman are not meant to enjoy one another. Animal civilization, they are meant to enjoy one another. Therefore, animals have no samskaras. Because what they do is not a sacrifice of devotion to God, it is simply for enjoyment. There is no marriage between two rats. There is no marriage between two dogs or two hogs or two mosquitoes. Because their purpose is simply that there's an urge and they enjoy. And they find a beautiful partner to enjoy with. And then they have children. And then they raise their children to enjoy. And when their children get old enough, they also find partner and enjoy. And in this way, the population of rats, dogs, hogs, and mosquitoes increases day by day throughout the world. So human population is also increasing day by day in the same way. Because people do not understand the meaning of the marriage samskara. Atato brahma jigyasa. Human life is meant for self-realization. It is not simply meant for sensual enjoyment. The marriage samskara is a sacred ceremony wherein the man and the woman come together to make a vow that they are not coming to enjoy one another, but they are coming to be enjoyed by God together. It is said that when two people become married, they become one person. That means they are completely united in the highest purpose of life, which is devotion to God. In every religious tradition throughout the world, this is the original intention of marriage. Whether it is held in the church or in the mosque or in the mandir or in the synagogue, it is meant to invoke the blessings of the Lord upon these two that they can enter into the loving service of the Lord together. And when the atmosphere becomes surcharged with this devotional spirit, marriage becomes a beautiful offering to Lord Krishna. It is completely favorable for spiritual advancement. When two people follow these principles together nicely, there is no need to be brahmachari or sadhu or sannyas. They are already sadhus in the grihastha ashram. And they can set the highest standard for others to follow. So this is what marriage means. We call for qualified Brahmins and qualified Vaishnavas to come to chant the names of the Lord, to bestow their blessings, so that the married couple could actually receive the sanction and the mercy of the Lord coming through these people to make their vows nicely and live a devotional life in the service of the Lord. And there is no greater way to invoke the mercy of the Lord than inviting devotees to come together to chant the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And to give prasad to all the assembled devotees. And through this wonderful process, we can rejuvenate and awaken the real natural qualities of our eternal soul. So today we are very happy to be with all of you, because where most of the world is ritualistically having these big marriages, with very little conception of the true spirit of devotion to God, you have called so many devotees to come and make this occasion supremely auspicious through the congregational chanting of the Lord's name and discussing the highest truths of Krishna's teachings. This is a very, very wonderful example that we are praying that the world may follow. This is the real meaning of love, to bring a person closer to Krishna, to help to invoke the grace of God and His devotees upon our loved ones. There is a beautiful story. Ramanujacharya, one of the great Vaishnavas, who is the founder of the Sri Sampradaya in the modern age, and he was sent to a very great saintly person in a village which is now present in Tamil Nadu. And he was asked to take initiation into a very sacred mantra. But when he went, the spiritual master, he told Ramanujacharya that this mantra is very pure and it is very secret. And he was thinking, there is no one on earth qualified to receive this mantra. So he told Ramanujacharya that he would not give him mantra. So Ramanujacharya was very sad. So he pleaded with him. So he said, not now. So Ramanujacharya, very depressed, he returned to his village. And again and again and again he came back and asked this great soul to give him the mantra. But again and again and again, this great soul said, not now. So one day, Ramanujacharya was at a festival, and this great soul also came to the festival. And there was a procession with the murti of Lord Narayan. And at that time, the pujari, he spoke very loudly. He said to this great spiritual master, "The Lord is speaking through me that you should give Ramanuja this mantra. Because he is a completely pure devotee of the Lord and he is most qualified to receive it." But still, he was hesitant. So devotees told him that Ramanuja is literally weeping and crying in despondency because he feels that he is so offensive and so low and degraded that he is not worthy of taking this mantra. So he called Ramanuja Acharya and he told him that this mantra is so pure and so perfect that anyone who hears it will be liberated from all the miseries of this world and attain pure devotion to Lord Narayan. Therefore, you must never in your life ever tell anyone this mantra. And so, Ramanujacharya left his guru's ashram and he started seeing all the people of the town. And he was thinking that these poor people, they are going to suffer birth and death again and again and again without devotion to Lord Narayan. So he advertised throughout the town that you come to the mandir right away and bring everyone and I will give you the greatest treasure. So everyone is very anxious for great treasures in this world. So many people gathered and Ramanujacharya climbed to the top of the temple and he said, "I will now give you the greatest of all treasures. I will give you the mantra by which you will become free from all the sufferings of this world due to attachment to this material body, and you will achieve the pure, unalloyed joy of the soul in devotion to Krishna." He said, "Everyone repeat after me." And then very loudly he said, "Om Namo Narayanaya.
Om Namo Narayanaya."
And everyone, thousands and thousands of townspeople, were chanting at the top of their voices as Ramanujacharya was leading the kirtan, "Om Namo Narayanaya.
Om Namo Narayanaya.
Om Namo Narayanaya.
Om Namo Narayanaya."
And then everyone was very happy, dancing in transcendental happiness. He told them that you should regularly keep this name of the Lord always in your heart. Ramanujacharya's guru, when he had heard the news that the secret mantra he was not allowed to tell anyone in his life, he just told everyone in the town. He became very angry. So Ramanujacharya went to his guru's house and offered his dandavat pranam. And the guru said, "How can you even stand before me? I do not want to see your face because of the offense you have made. By telling this mantra to others, you will go to hell. Now get out of my sight." Ramanujacharya was very humble. With great respect, he said to this great spiritual master that you have told me that anyone who hears this mantra will become free of all sufferings and go back to the spiritual world. Please forgive me. But I do not mind going to hell forever if all these people can be free from sufferings and go back to Krishna." Guru Maharaj began to weep and he embraced Ramanujacharya with great love. He said, "My dear son, you are greater than me. Your compassion and your love for all living beings toward others is greater than mine. Now you are my guru and I am your disciple." Ramanujacharya, with great humility and folded palms, he bowed down and said, "No, Guru Maharaj, whatever I am doing is only by your mercy." Sri Harinam Sankirtan Ki. In this age of Kali Yuga, Harinama 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 Eva Kevalam Kalo Nasteva 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 Gatiranyata. The only means by which we can be freed from the sufferings of this world and awaken our original spiritual devotion to God is through the congregational chanting of the holy names. Another story about Ramanujacharya. One time there was a wonderful procession, celebration of the deity of the Lord in Sri Rangam. And so many people were playing mridangas and karatals and horns and other instruments, and everyone was chanting God's holy names. And the deity was decorated so beautiful with wonderful palanquin, and pujaris were waving chamara fans, and everyone was enjoying this wonderful festival. But Ramanujacharya and his disciples noticed that there was one man. He didn't even know the deity was there, and he was right on the street. He was with a very, very beautiful woman. It was a prostitute woman. And he was standing over her with an umbrella to make sure the sun does not make her hot. And as he was holding the umbrella over her head, his eyes were fixed on her beautiful eyes. And he would not look anywhere else. And meanwhile, people were chanting and dancing and doing all nice pujas. And he was right in the middle of it, just looking at this lady and holding umbrella very carefully so no sun will disturb her. So to behave like this in a public place is a very embarrassing situation. But he was not embarrassed. So Ramanuja was thinking, what kind of unfortunate person is this? Everyone's looking at him going like this. So Ramanuja told one of his brahmacharis that, call this man over here to talk to me. So somehow or other he got his attention. Come, Ramanujacharya, the great acharya of Sri Rangam, wants to talk to you. So he came to Ramanuja. And Ramanuja asked him, why in the middle of this wonderful procession with thousands of people all around, you're just looking at this lady? He said, because her eyes are lotus eyes, and they are so beautiful. I have never seen anything in this entire world that can compare to her lotus eyes. I cannot take my attention or attraction away from those eyes. They have captured my heart, my mind, and my senses. And Ramanujacharya said, if I show you something more beautiful than her eyes, will you look at them? He said, there can be nothing more beautiful than this woman's eyes. But if you can show me, then that will be very good. This man was a very big, strong man. His name was Dhanur Das. So Ramanuja said, you come with me tomorrow. So he came to Ramanujacharya and he brought him into the Ranganath temple. And he brought him before the Lord. And Ramanujacharya prayed to Lord Ranganath, who is Krishna himself, that you are the all-attractive one. Please attract this fallen soul's heart. When he saw the eyes of Lord Krishna in the form of this murti, they were so beautiful and so attractive that he fell down and surrendered his life at the lotus feet of Krishna. He said, I now have no other desire to do anything but see the beauty of Lord Krishna. And he became a great Vaishnava. And then Ramanujacharya told him one day, you bring this lady? And upon seeing how this man was completely transformed and totally detached from her due to attraction for Krishna, she realized that there's nothing higher than Krishna, and she also surrendered to Krishna. And Ramanujacharya told them to get married. And this man and woman, they performed the samskara of marriage, but together they had no attraction for anything in the world except serving Krishna in union with one another. And they became very dear disciples of Ramanujacharya. He gave them so much attention and so much association and so much mercy. And they lived in a nice house and they had reasonable amount of wealth, but they used everything for God's seva. So the brahmacharis and the sadhus in Ramanuja's brahmachari ashram, they were talking bad about Dhanurdas and his wife. They were saying, we have renounced home, we have renounced all the luxuries of life, we have renounced association with women, and this Dhanurdas, he has nice house, he has jewelry, he has a beautiful wife, he's a fallen soul. And then they started criticizing their own Gurudev. They were thinking, we are so renounced and he's living in a house with a wife and all nice things. Why Gurudev gives him so much attention even more than us? So Ramanujacharya wanted to enlighten them. Brahmacharis all live together on the floor and they wash their clothes by hand and hang it on ropes. So Ramanujacharya tore little pieces off their kopans. Kopan means their little piece of cloth that they wear. So the next morning when they woke up and they took their bath and they went to get their kopans, they saw pieces of cloth were torn from their kopan. And they all began to chastise each other. Why you tore my kopan? No, you tore my kopan. And everyone was just suspicious and fighting. There was a huge commotion in the brahmachari ashram. Everyone was fighting because their kopans had little torn pieces on it. So they kept fighting and fighting about their kopans. And then Ramanujacharya said, you know this Dhanurdas, he's too much attached to wife and wealth. And the brahmachari said, yes, correct. Now you understand, Guru Maharaj. So he said, I want to give a good lesson to just show what attachments he has. In the middle of the night, I will call Dhanurdas to come to see me. At that time, you should go and steal the jewels off his wife's body while she is sleeping. And we'll see what kind of distress he's in. So he called Dhanurdas, and the wife was laying on her side, and the brahmacharis very, very quietly, they came in the room. And very carefully, they started taking all jewels from her. And then she started to move. So the brahmacharis ran away. Then they went back. They brought the jewels to Ramanujam. He said, now you go back and you see when Dhanurdas meets his wife, how he reacts. So the brahmacharis were looking through like a window, very secretly, and listening. And the wife told Dhanurdas that today, I think that our Guru Maharaj must have some difficulty. He doesn't have any money. Because his brahmacharis came today when I was sleeping and they started taking the jewels off of me. So I was thinking, if Guru Maharaj needs our jewels, I should give all. So I tried to turn to the other side so they could take all the other jewels. But unfortunately, as I turned, they ran away. So Dhanurdas became very angry with his wife. He said, we had the chance to give everything we had to our Guru Maharaj, and because you turned in a wrong way, we lost that opportunity. Everything we have is the property of Krishna, and everything we have, we want to use it in Guru Seva. We are so unfortunate today that because of your not performing the proper action, you have scared them away and they did not take everything we had. That is our great misfortune. So the brahmacharis understood that Dhanurdas was a completely pure and selfless soul. And they returned to Ramanujacharya's ashram and explained what happened. And Ramanujacharya told them, this morning, when little pieces of cloth were taken from your kopans, you were so upset that someone had disturbed your kopan. And yet Dhanurdas was praising you when you took all of his beautiful jewels. He wanted to give everything. Who is more detached? And all the brahmacharis became very embarrassed. They understood why Dhanardas was so dear to Ramanujacharya, because he was truly a surrendered soul, completely attracted to Krishna. Even his wife was so pure and dedicated. So whether one is a grihastha or a brahmachari, the important thing is that we learn how to become attracted to Krishna. Kalavati Devi has requested that we tell this story to reveal to you how, in the grihastha ashram, married life, we can achieve the highest perfection, even greater than those of many sannyasis, if we simply live in devotion to God. And that comes through associating with devotees, through making your house a temple, through living very pure life, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. Following the proper guidance of a true spiritual master, and always chanting God's name. By worshipping the deity, serving the devotees, and chanting the name of God, our heart becomes clean and our attraction for Krishna becomes so wonderful that we lose all attraction for the sources of misery of this world. In this way, we transcend activities of karma, pious activities. We transcend vikarma, or sinful activities, and we come to the true state of akarma, activities in devotion to God. So we should center our life around devotion to God by always keeping His name in our heart, in our mind, and always upon our lips.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Thus ends the recording of this lecture.